Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. We've all heard that joke about the man who's running late for a concert and asks a stranger how he get to Carnegie Hall, and the stranger says, practice, practice, practice. The joke doesn't play in Venezuela. The answer there would be El Sistema, Sistema, Sistema. The Simon Bolivar Symphony Orchestra of Venezuela, who will play Carnegie Hall, by the way, next week, uses El Sistema, a classical music education program that takes kids from the slums to the stage. Trisha Turnstall is a musician, a music educator. She's written a book called Changing Lives, Gustavo Dudamel, El Sistema, and the Transformative Power of Music. She joins us now. Trisha, thank you, and welcome to WNYC.
Great to be here.
So if I were an El Sistema student, how young would I be as I started? What instrument would they put in my hand? How would they determine what I should play? Take me through it.
Okay. If you were an El Sistema student in Venezuela, you'd be likely to start very young, possibly really young, as a toddler. You'd go in with your mother as a toddler, and you would do rhythm games and all kinds of things, and that you would call that, you would be called the baby Mozarts. And then you would graduate to the baby Vivaldis, who go without their parents, and they start singing games and dancing games and movements and all kinds of percussion instruments. And then, very possibly, when you were 5 or 6, you would make a paper violin, a violin out of paper mache that you would paint. You would take it home. Your family would help you create it. You would learn to love that instrument. You'd learn how to hold it. You'd learn bow position. So you'd be all set with this paper violin. You would be practicing for the next year when you would actually graduate into an orchestra at the age of 7.
And do all kids from Venezuela who are in school get exposed to this? Is it only an elite?
It's not an elite. It's really first come for anyone, and it's open for anyone. There are no auditions. There's no fee. It's free and accessible to anyone who wants to come. And right now in Venezuela, there are about 400,000 children participating in El Sistema. They come after school. They come every day. They play for hours together, usually in ensemble settings. They learn musicianship, and at the same time, they learn community, they learn self-discipline, they learn tolerance and cooperation. The amazing thing about the program El Sistema is that it is a music program, but it is at its heart a social program.
So you said a couple things. You said they're in ensembles 4 to 5 days a week, hours at a time. A lot of that is different from how we do music education here in the U.S. Why is it different? Why, I'm sure they would say, why is it better?
It's very different from our conventional picture of music education, because most of the learning is in ensembles. Most of the learning is about cooperation, is about peer support. The reason why is that the heart of El Sistema, the fundamental purpose of it, is not to create musicians. It's to create responsible, successful, empathic young people who can be citizens. And if you go to a Nucleo is a music program, what they call their music programs. Anytime you go to one of those and you talk to a teacher or you talk to their leader, they will tell you, we are not here to create musicians. That's not our goal. We are here to create responsible citizens. Now, along the way, of course, exceptional musicians get created. Witness what's happening at Carnegie Hall this week.
Does it work? By the way, not in terms of the exceptional musicians, but the exceptional citizen part of it. Have they measured it?
They haven't done a lot of measuring, but the measuring that they have done really says that it works very well. The children who are in El Sistema are much less likely to drop out of high school. They're much likelier to go to college. They're much likelier to go on to professional life. So there's a vast amount of circumstantial evidence in Venezuela that it works.
Tell me about how it was founded. The founder is a man named Jose Antonio Abreu. What was his background and motivation?
He is an exceptional man. He was both a brilliant economist, a government official, and a brilliant musician. And in 1975 in Caracas, that's when it started, when he got the idea that he wanted to put together a youth orchestra of young Venezuelans who didn't really have chances to play together. And as he did this sort of improbable melding of some kids who could play, some kids who couldn't play so well, some kids who had instruments, some kids who didn't, he put them all together. And by creating a team of them helping each other, working together, practicing constantly. He made an orchestra. And then he saw, as he looked at what he had made, actually, he saw that these children had become more than good musicians. They had really been transformed in the process. And then that was when the sort of the idea of El Sistema was born in his mind, that he wanted every child in Venezuela to have the chance to play together and to have a transformative experience.
Maybe in our audience, since it is a vast and diverse audience, there are Venezuelan listeners who have had some direct contact with El Sistema, or maybe there are some people here who are trying to bring an El Sistema-style program to New York. We're at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Hugo Chavez, the leader, dictator of Venezuela. You know, you mentioned that the program started in 75, so it predates him. But what's been his attitude and interaction with the program?
Well, his regime has been supportive of it, but that's exactly the same as the regimes prior to him, which were everything from center to leftist to rightist.
In a way, it seems bigger than the government.
It's much bigger than the government. Yes, this thing started in 1975, but by 1977, it was run by a government foundation. And since then, it has grown steadily to the point where more Venezuelan children play music than play soccer.
What about baseball?
I'm not sure about that statistic.
That's Hugo Chavez's favorite. And we're getting some calls in to 212-433-9692. And I did ask about the expansion of El Sistema outside Venezuela. What about – is that going on? Is that going on in cities with Venezuelan expat communities or even places that just saw the example and like to pluck a good idea from wherever it was born?
I think it's more that. I think as the knowledge and awareness of El Sistema spread in the last few years, and that's partly because the Simón Bolívar toured so widely. There's a viral video on YouTube of them playing mambo at the British proms, and many, many people saw that and were inspired by it. There was also the fact that Gustavo Dudamel became leader of the Los Angeles Philharmonic and brought with him the idea and the purpose of starting a Sistema program there.
And it's not just that he has this role, this high-profile role. He's really charismatic. He could sell anything.
He's really charismatic. He could sell anything. And he's absolutely dedicated to the ideals of the Sistema. So this now becomes something that the world is seeing, this Sistema, and the idea has actually spread like wildfire. It's become a bona fide international movement. There are Sistemas now in, I think, 56 countries. And in the United States, it has grown from 3 programs when I started research for Changing Lives to over 60 programs. And they're everywhere. They're in California, they're in the Midwest, there are many in New York, and I'd love to talk a little bit about those.
All right, go ahead.
There are 4 programs in the New York area that I know of, and they are all wonderful programs built and inspired by the El Sistema model. One is called the Harmony Program that has programs in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, in Harlem, and also at the United Palace Theater in Northern Manhattan. There is the Corona Queens Music Project in Queens. There is the WHIN, W-H-I-N, Washington Heights and Inwood program up north. And right across the river, there's the Union City Music Project. So it's really kind of an explosion of El Sistema activity now in New York. These sites are small, but they're energetic, they're growing fast, and I'd love to see them really expand and flourish. They're not obviously supported by the government. That's not how it works here. So each of those, like all the others across the country, have to sort of put together their own mix of foundation money, private donor money, whatever they can find. And they all are in a lot of need of support.
Bill from New Rochelle, welcome to WNYC, Bill.
Yeah, hi. I just want to let you know there's a similar group up here in New Rochelle, but it's a choral group, and it's all kinds of children from any background, and they don't have to pay anything, and they do choral music, and they have an orchestra. It's not symphony orchestra, but they have an orchestra that plays with their choral songs, and they have a summer camp, and they go away and practice. It's a wonderful program.
Thanks, Bill. Is Il Sistema, it's an orchestral program, but can the idea be expanded to something like
that? Oh, yes. El Sistema includes a lot of choruses as well. In fact, every one of the núcleos, the music centers in Venezuela, has at least one chorus and some several.
Mary from Long Island. Hello, Mary. You're on WNYC.
Yes. Hi. I was a New York City teacher of English for many years, and when I had the opportunity to teach regular classes or students who were regular but otherwise in major music programs, I would always take the students who were in who spent one period a day doing either chorus or orchestra or band, because they were the best students I ever had. They were more cooperative, they were quieter, they paid more attention to each other, they had more respect for each other. And of students of equal intelligence, I would take students who had music training over any other students. And
right, so Mary,
the New York City public school system decimated the music program and did away with it in favor of more reading and math and all these other things. They really did a tremendous disservice, not only to the students, but to themselves, because students learn in so many different ways, and they learn to cooperate and to be kind and caring people through music and art.
Well, that's my question, Mary. Mary, I mean, in your experience, did you come to a conclusion about the chicken and egg question? Is it the certain kind of student who has the...
No, they were the same students. They had the same intellectual ability otherwise. They were not any more gifted in terms of their ability to read and write, or that their scores weren't necessarily any higher, but they learned better. They sat more quietly, and so they were able to learn more because they weren't wiggling and fidgeting, and they had a focus.
All right. Well, thanks very much for the call, Mary. We have to end that there. Tricia Tunstall, who is the author of Changing Lives, Gustavo Dudamel, El Sistema, and the Transformative Power of Music. Do you know where they'll be appearing next? Do you want to plug them or the book or yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. They will be appearing in New York at Carnegie Hall Monday and Tuesday, December 10th and 11th. And beyond that, they also will be doing one concert in each borough. They'll be doing a family concert, a children's concert, on Sunday the 9th. You can get all this information on the Carnegie Hall website, but they will be in residence in New York for 5 days.
And that is who we're hearing, the Simon Bolivar Orchestra. This is at the Proms Festival. Thanks very much.